This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop, hey, what's that sound?
In the third presidential debate, Dr. Stein, I asked Donald Trump whether he would accept the result of the election and the principle of the peaceful transfer of power. Here's what he said.
Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense. Okay?
Well, Chris, let me respond to that because that's horrifying. You know, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him.
Dr. Stein, at that time, a lot of liberals' heads exploded because Donald Trump wouldn't accept the results of the election. Aren't you doing precisely that right now? Aren't you doing exactly what Hillary Clinton called horrifying?
I am not here to help Hillary Clinton or to express her point of view. In my view, the recount should have happened in the Democratic primary as well, where there were also very suspicious results, where voters appeared to be stripped from the rolls in Brooklyn, where hundreds of thousands of votes went uncounted in California. This is not about helping Democrats. It's not about helping Republicans.
I didn't ask you that.
It's
I
not
asked
about
you.
Well,
that's
Green.
Not the question I asked you, Dr. Stein.
This is
I asked
question,
you,
though, that the
why not accept the results
about.
Of the election? Because what you're doing is exactly what Hillary Clinton said was horrifying.
I don't care what Hillary Clinton thinks about this, and I don't care. I care what the voters think about this, not what the politicians or the pundits or the party operatives think about this. This is about responding to the American voters who are standing up and saying, we deserve an election system that we can trust and that is accurate, that is secure against hacking, against human error, against machine error, and that in which the votes are being counted. Because right now, it's not clear that all the votes are being counted. We deserve
Dr.
that
Stein.
So we can go forward with an election system that we can trust.
Dr. Stein, thank you. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll stay on top of the region.
Of course, Chris Wallace on his Sunday show with Green Party presidential nominee Jill Stein. It was quite a heated conversation. He was like trying to, wrestle in kits, as they would say, cats, because, he could not wrangle her in. She was fixed on her, I guess, little piece of the ground there, and that is that people are concerned about it. I'm not sure they're concerned to the number that she's talking about, and if that was the case, where was she earlier? Why didn't she talk about this when, Donald Trump had brought it up? And, it looked like there was some rigging that was taking place. But, that's the problem. When you talk about things like that, it puts the whole process in question. And that's what Democrats, the Republicans, and, not to mention, precinct captains were all concerned about was, are we going to send this into some sort of constitutional crisis because we just cannot trust the process? And, I'm not saying that it doesn't bear any kind of effort to do some investigating, because you've had Democrats forever insisting, including the former attorney general, there's no voter fraud that's taking place. Well, he says that, but why do they keep arresting people? There's no voter fraud, it's something that I believe that really needs to be taken look at, but not by an individual. I think it really looks, we need to break this down as best we can. If that's even possible, if the government even has the heart and soul to want to, verify this once and for all so that people have the confidence that the system is operating as well as it can. Is there a plus or minus factor in this deal? What is it? How many votes do we actually lose? But each state has its parameters and its guidelines that if it's within a questionable percentage and it demands or deems a recount, then, in some cases it automatically kicks in. But are we due to review that? Possibly, because of the things, modern technology, the way things have been brought out. WikiLeaks exposes and Veritas exposes that the Democrat apparatchik have been doing things for over 50 years, admittedly. And, should we get to the bottom of it and ask those questions? I think that's what should be done. Not necessarily what Jill Stein is promoting. That's my humble opinion. But, hey, the conversation will continue, and we will continue to keep the pressure on because that's what we do here on this independent radio show, Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome to the team. If you're with us, good to have you with us. Bill Martinez live here. As we do everything we can, understanding that all hands are required to be on deck if we're going to get this country back on track. And I appreciate your enthusiasm and your engagement with the culture. That is absolutely critical. This is a government of, for, and by we the people. It demands that that we the people be involved, okay, be engaged. That's what it's all about. With us right now is Ed Conard. Good to have him back with us. He is the author of the top 10 New York Times bestseller, Unintended Consequences, Why Everything You've Been Told About the Economy is Wrong. And his latest book, The Upside of Inequality, How Good Intentions Undermine the Middle Class. Ed, good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Good. Thank you, Bill. I have a little bit of a cold this morning. But
hey, we'll hang in there. I mean, it's the season. It's cold on the east now. All of a sudden, it's picking up a little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm heading out there the end of the week. So I'll be there visiting New York for about 5 days. And, you know, hopefully the Northeaster will stay away just long enough so I can get in and out because I know it gets rather stifling cold there. But, Ed, you know, we talk about unintended consequences, why everything you've been told about the economy is wrong, you know, in bringing the reference here to The Upside of Inequality, which I saw is a follow-up to the book, a natural transition of how good intentions undermined the middle class. Was it those good intentions that did it, or was it a combination of things?
Well, I think you have different points of view about how the economy works, and I think everybody has good intentions and that they're trying to do what they think is best, but often I think they have misguided economics underlying those intentions. So if you think you're going to legislate prosperity instead of earning it with hard work and entrepreneurial risk-taking, you can make a lot of mistakes, do a lot of damage to the economy.
And you start social engineering, getting your fingers involved in the making of what, you know, this is what I love about the free market. It heals itself, and I believe we'd have gone a lot further had we not done some of the bailouts that we did and that, you know, those on high thought that it was appropriate to meddle and start picking winners and losers. And we know that that is a losing formula. But yet, you know, it's almost like they can't help themselves, can they, Ed?
Well, I think, you know, I think that they can't help themselves because I think voters demand improvements, and whether they can deliver improvements or not, they feel either an obligation or an urgency to try, and so they're going to try whether they have a solution or not. So, you know, there's a group of people out there that think that their wages are going to get raised if the minimum wage gets raised, for example, and they're going to petition their politicians hard to do that. Now, they might not recognize that if they can't produce $15 an hour of value that a customer wants to buy, if we make the law say you can't get a job if you don't produce $15 an hour, they might be out of a job. If they don't see that, it really doesn't matter if they're petitioning some politician to put forward their belief.
Yeah. You know, you bring up a good point in terms of imposing a price, but if the value of what it is that you're presenting isn't worth it, then people will choose to step away. I mean, for example, in a minor sort of context, Ed, is that we noticed that the tipping process, the whole tipping system has kind of silently evolved here. You know, 15% was the respected. Now you get a receipt and they say, you know, here they give you three options, 15, 18, and when I was in Hawaii, it went up to 23%. You know, it just is kind of like one of those a natural increases that's just kind of happened in our society. But it's not that the person is doing any more outstanding service. It's just this is what they expect.
Yeah, I think if you looked at all the waiters and waitresses of the world, they're scared to death of a rise in the minimum wage because of what you're describing, which is there's a large redistribution to that group through tipping at, you know, 20% today, often 20% today, which has benefited them greatly. I think in many cases where you find increases in the minimum wage, you find restaurants moving away from tipping policies or to policies that distribute the tips more evenly across all the people in the restaurant. It's disadvantageous to the waiters and waitresses in that case.
When you talk about the social engineering that has taken place, Ed, supposedly to buttress up those that are, you know, complaining about the conditions, and certainly the labor force of the United States of America has had every right to complain, but are we, you know, complaining about the wrong thing when you realize that, you know, government, because of their meddling and regulations and all the other things that they've thrown at the labor force, that this has done more harm and, you know, unleveled the playing field to such a degree that the free market has been hindered?
Well, I do think that's the case because, you know, if you take health care, for example, if you demand that everybody has to buy a very expensive, comprehensive health care policy, they're going to find a lot of people that don't earn a lot of money that can't afford to buy one. And so if the government's willing to subsidize some of those people, it works, but then many of the ones who are slightly above the level of the subsidy, say, geez, I can't afford health care under the new regime. What I want is a health care insurance company who's going to try to design a policy for me. So I think, you know, what happened in health care, for example, is we tried to tax all the young, healthy people to try to provide insurance for other people, and the young people said, geez, if you're going to do that to me, I'm going to be creative and I'm not going to buy insurance because that insurance just has a heavy tax to it, and the whole system is breaking down as a result. Why? Because we don't want to be using the healthcare system, for example, to redistribute income. We want to use the healthcare system to try to deliver people healthcare at the logical price level. But we can't deliver $5,000 of healthcare, $10,000 of healthcare to a person who only makes $25,000 a year. We have to be thoughtful about what kind of healthcare, how we can deliver the best possible health care. But instead of doing that, what you have are politicians who say, I can get you more. I can get you more and more and more. You want $15 an hour? I can get you $15 an hour. You want a Cadillac health care insurance? I'll get you that. But if we don't earn the money to produce the value that's necessary to buy these things, it doesn't work in the long run. It can't work in the long run.
Well, these kids are enslaved almost, you know, as soon as they go to college and they commit to, you know, these tuitions and the payments and everything else. Then they come out to find out that the jobs that were supposed to be there aren't there. And then if they do get a job, if they're lucky enough to get a job, they look at their paycheck and they go, hey, what's this Social Security thing? And, you know, I'm paying into something that I may not get a return on. It's only to, you know, support my parents. You know, what's wrong with this deal? And then the government comes in with a health care program. Say, oh, this is wonderful. You know, we want you to sign up. And but there's really no immediate benefit for them other than they need to support the health care program. And they go, wait a minute, I'm already supporting Social Security. I'm entangled in over $1 trillion worth of college debt. And then now I still have to contribute more to keep the world going round and round. How is this fair?
Yeah, with a faculty that doesn't teach them anything about how to earn money in the real world, too.
Yeah, let's really add that to the equation, too. Ed Conard is with us. The Upside of Inequality, How Good Intentions Undermine and Have Undermined the Middle Class. More from Ed on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there for you. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com. And use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
The EPA says the air in our homes is up to 5 times more contaminated than outside air. The solution is not just to filter your air, but detox it. UVforLife.com now offers a doctor-recommended UVforLife.com sterilization unit to kill over 99% of viruses, bacteria, molds, and dangerous chemicals. Go to UVforLife.com. Add promo code GCN at checkout to save $100. That's UV, the number 4, life.com. UVforLife.com. Don't just filter your air, detox it.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, even at this time of the year, huh? What a great time. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Ed Conard is with us, author of the top 10 New York Times bestseller, Unintended Consequences, his latest book, The Upside of Inequality, How Good Intentions Undermine the Middle Class. He's a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, previously a founding partner of Bain Capital, where he worked closely with his friend and colleague, former presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Ed, I want to talk about Mr. Romney and, you know, the consideration of Donald Trump to make him Secretary of State. What say you?
I think it was impressive on the part of President Trump to consider Mitt Romney as Secretary of State, given the amount of animosity that existed, that came from Mitt prior to the election. So kudos to him for considering it. And I think from Mitt's perspective, he feels a moral obligation to serve his country. And if the President of the United States calls on him to serve, he's going to serve. And if the President calls on him for his advice, he's going to go and give his advice. I don't think he's so worried about how it looks from a public perspective. I think he thinks what's best for the country.
Mm-hmm. I think it is encouraging for the president, who has said, look, he wants to be the president of all America. And the first, healing project that he has is within his own party. Let's do what we can to get everybody together. And then, you know, he's already crossed over party lines in building this this new government. I'm very pleased to see who he selected and who he is considering, including Mitt Romney, for that matter.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think his picks have all had strong agendas in their areas of expertise, which shows that he's willing to put guys in there that are really going to lead a process. For example, the Secretary of Education has a real agenda about charter schools.
Betsy DeVos, yeah.
And in health services and in health care and Obamacare. And in many other areas in foreign policy as well. And I think the fact that he was willing to reach out to Mitt and hear what Mitt had to say and talk to Mitt is shows the same consistent pattern in his choices.
And in terms of national security, getting people around who understand and can give it straight. I know people are really concerned. The media has made their comment about, oh, my goodness, for the first time in 60 years, we're going to get away from civilians controlling the government. I've had a problem with that going back to Vietnam. I was a Vietnam-era vet, and I worked in the public relations department. It was public affairs office at Camp Pendleton. And I, even from my purview, I saw some things that were just not consistent, I believe, with, you know, the conditions of war. When you get involved and you say, okay, it's time to go to war, we're going to break stuff up, you got to let the people who know how to do that best, you know, give them the power to do that.
And I think historically the generals have been the ones who are the most skeptical about going to war and what effect it's going to have. They've been the most cautious about it.
Exactly. But it's difficult when you've got somebody looking over your shoulder, or not even more than that. I mean, they're telling you what the rules of engagement are. And before you can, you know, you've got the bad guy in your sights and you can't shoot, you got to send it all the way upstairs and let them tell you whether or not by then, you know, what happened to the bad guy.
You know, although I would say I agree with you 100%. And I think the military's got to use its own expertise to run the military, and they have a lot of expertise in foreign policy as well. On the other hand, I think it would be, you know, you'd scratch your head a little bit if the head of defense, the head of National Security Council, and the Secretary of State were all generals, because you start to get one perspective instead of multiple perspectives.
Right.
And I think you can benefit from multiple perspectives, and you can always get those lower down in the chain, but you always have to worry lower down in the chain that people are going to tell you what you want to hear. So you need strong figures at the top who can draw out the expertise. I wouldn't, you know, if I were picking, I wouldn't pick three on three generals. I'd be happy with two out of the three, but I'd probably go in a slightly different direction, Secretary of State. But not that the generals who are being considered aren't really impressive, incredible guys.
Exactly. Right. Well, you know, I think, and this is sometimes what you get concerned with, at least I do, Ed, is that you get that, you know, that pendulum swing decision when you've been so much the other way that you go back 180 as opposed to finding that happy ground there? Because, let's face it, the constituency of Donald Trump is saying, look, I want action. I'm tired of this stuff. You know, this has been going on for so long. So the temptation is to take it maybe to the other extreme, possibly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you want to be careful not to swing, bounce off one guardrail into the other guardrail. It's like to bounce off the guardrail and land back in the middle of the highway again.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that 100%.
Ed, what do you think of Donald Trump's economic plan? I mean, actually, just the mere situation that first night, first couple of hours, the stock market was in the tank. It was going down. Everybody was freaking out around the world. And then by the next morning, everything's back and it's been rolling along. So not only here in this country, the stock market is very enthusiastic with a Donald Trump presidency, but also the world. So you've got that that saying of all rising tide, you know, rising tide raises all boats. And it seems like all the other boats are rising, along with it.
Yeah, I think they think that there's some real opportunity to fix some of the damage that was done in the 2 years when the Democrats got 60% of 60 votes in the Senate and were able to pretty much pass anything they want. So I think they're hopeful that there can be corporate tax reform, immigration reform, health care reform, reform to Dodd-Frank, which, as you say, hopefully doesn't bounce off the other guardrail, but can correct a lot of the damage and overreach that was done in those 2 years, which, you know, we have no rebound after 8 years, not a single rebound after the worst recession since the Great Depression, and we have seen 1.5% real growth, tepid growth, when we should have seen an average of 3% growth from a one-time rebound, and then just reasonable growth after that. So
exactly.
We have suffered through a tough, tough 8 years of slow growth here as a result of the changes that were made.
Well, Ed, to your point earlier, you know, all this meddling and social engineering that has taken place has retarded the whole process. And as you say, like no other previous recession has one carried out. I mean, they want to say we're out of a recession, but I say there's many people across the country, the forgotten man and woman, who says, what do you mean we're out of the recession? We're still unemployed. Maybe we've defined it a bit where we, you know, before it could live with one job, you know, the breadwinner, the family's got to go work three jobs to make up for the one he lost because of these minimum wage jobs that are flying around and, you know, the good jobs going out the door. I mean, Dick Stockman a couple of months ago was on the show, talked about it. He said, Bill, let me break it to you real straight. Let me tell you what reality is. There has not been one net breadwinning job in America since the year 2000. Ed, that you could have bowled me over. I mean, I thought about it in those terms. That's pretty dramatic.
I mean, the other thing to think about, too, is your economy is about $20 trillion a year in size. If we would have grown at an average 3% rate, which is you get a little bit of a rebound back to normal and then grow at the same old historic rate, we would have had about 3% real growth.
Mm.
We've had 1.5% for the last 8 years. That means we're missing $1 trillion a year of GDP, $1 trillion a year.
Right.
That is it. And, you know, it might not increase the number of jobs, but it would have substantially increases the wages and income in those jobs by putting more pressure. And you see that now 8 years later when we're finally starting to get back to full capacity, we're starting to see a little upward pressure on wages that are increasing people's income now after 8 years. It's been enormously expensive. I think people have learned to live with the new normal, but I think they're realizing that we could actually do a lot better than that.
And I think at the same time to that point, Ed, is you got this what I call pent-up productivity potential that's just been lying dormant for the last 10 years and is getting ready to explode if given the right opportunity and conditions. And it seems like, you know, as you might say, the stars might be aligning in a positive way to unleash new industrial revolution, I say, a new type in this 21st century America. What do you think?
Well, I think we have to have some optimism today about the future in order to unleash that. But
Yes. Again,
you see the rise in the stock market that's occurred. I think you're beginning to see a reawakening of that optimism. So I do think that's possible.
All right. Well, Ed Conner, thank you so much for being with us. The Upside of Inequality, How Good Intentions Undermine the Middle Class. It is available at all usual places and linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Ed, thanks for being on with us.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Welcome.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Just the way you like it. It's all about you, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Cody McGregor is with us right now. He's the National Outreach Director for Concerned Veterans of America. In 1999, Cody enlisted in the Army as an infantryman directly out of high school upon graduation from basic training and the U.S. Army Airborne School. He was assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, where he quickly deployed to Egypt in support of an international peacekeeping mission. Upon his return to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Cody ascended to the rank of sergeant, was selected to become part of his scout reconnaissance platoon, where he earned a position as a sniper. Following the 9/11 attacks on our country, Cody's unit was deployed to Afghanistan. There, Cody continued his service as a sniper and a squad leader, providing strategic support in dozens of complex missions along the Afghan-Pakistani border. Cody graduated with honors from the University of Texas with a bachelor's degree in government. Cody, good to have you back with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to be back with you this morning.
Hey, we appreciate that the CVA, the Concerned Veterans for America, have been at the vanguard of improving the Department of Veterans Affairs and keeping the light turned up big time on this. What is your perspective on what's going on in terms of the selection for a new VA secretary?
You know, I wish I was a fly on the room in some of those conversations, because the Department of Veterans Affairs is in shambles. You know, you've got 500,000 veterans that wait 30 days or more to see a doctor. And we're not talking about an agency that's underfunded here. You know, this is the second largest agency in the federal government with a budget of $182 billion and 300,000 employees. And so we're really hoping that the selection for the Secretary of VA is somebody that understands that the system's got to be shaken up. We've got to allow those individuals that aren't doing their job to be fired. And we've got to, you know, Bob McDonald, we had such high hopes for him when he came in after the scandal in 2014, bringing his private sector career and his military career. And we were hoping that leadership would come through. And he rolled out a program called My VA. And all the staff at the VA hospitals wore these stickers that said My VA. Well, it's a veteran's VA. Yeah. And we've got to start putting veterans first. And we're hopeful that the next secretary will do so.
Is it a systemic issue? We've been talking about this, Cody, for quite a while. And it appears to be more a systemic issue, and it's hard to root that out. You can have good leadership and be hopeful, you know, such as what you just explained with Bob McDonald. But it is overwhelming when you talk about all the employees involved with the VA and a system that says, "Hey, we're going to operate this you know, in a certain way." Boy, that takes a lot of tenacity and leadership and support to uproot this kind of well-entrenched program, like you say, with the second largest budget. That can have a tendency to, you know, develop a lot of the wrong things in philosophy, and it seems the VA is victim to that. What do you say?
Bill, you're exactly right. I mean, you look at, you know, the fact that there are individuals that are career VA employees that they're comfortable with maintaining the status quo. They're comfortable with just kind of going through their day-to-day operations, not rocking the boat so they can get invited to, you know, cocktail hours in Washington, D.C. and be a part of the Easter egg roll at the White House. And they've kind of just kind of maintained the status quo. And so it's going to take a strong leader, somebody who understands that we've got to be taking care of veterans. And we've also got to be responsible with taxpayer dollars. I mean, you think about, you know, for example, there's a VA hospital in Aurora, Colorado that's still not done. It was projected to be a $328 million project. It's now $1.7 billion. So, you know, accountability is key. And on top of that is giving veterans choice. You know, I think if we start giving veterans choice, allowing them to go to Dr. Smith down the street if they so choose, or allow them to go to the VA if they're having a good experience there, will, I think, eliminate some of the wait times. And it'll start making the VA have to compete with private sector, and that's going to increase the quality of care and shorten the wait list.
Well, this is the problem when you have a government-run healthcare program. I mean, is it any wonder with Obamacare that a lot of the problems with Obamacare sound very similar to what has been happening at the VA?
That's exactly right. I mean, you look at just the simple fact, Bill, that try to find somewhere in the outside of the Department of Veterans Affairs or in the civilian world where you have your insurance company housed inside of your hospital. I mean, that's prime real estate for scandal and corruption. And so we're advocating for a couple of things. One, to break that payer and provider system apart. There's some legislation out there that starts to do that. The Caring for Our Heroes in the 21st Century Act does that and gives veterans choice. And so, I mean, you're exactly right. We've got to break this thing apart. Give veterans choice, and then really start taking care of those individuals that have sacrificed for this country.
Well, what always bothers me in this kind of situation when you see these systemic issues, you look at it, because I've been a businessman, gosh, just about all my life. I mean, even going back to when I was 8 years old, you know, selling door to door as a little kid, you know. And there are just some things that are intrinsically wrong and that promote all the wrong things. I mean, you know, when you have an organization that's more concerned about its job and longevity, you know, you have a tendency to produce a kind of a mediocre culture. And that's the thing that's astounding to me, because I feel for the other people who are there associated with the VA that are hardworking, that go in, that want to produce excellent results, and they're constantly banging their heads into the inability and the stubbornness and, you know, the fixed nine-dot paradigm that the VA is operating out of, that is not producing the results, and especially for the kind of money that's being invested with the people's money. That's the thing, and you alluded to this just a moment ago, Cody. This is the people's money. This is our money that we're investing on behalf of, you know, for our heroes, our modern day heroes that all America. I mean, you pull America. Yes, let's take care of our vets. What the heck is going on here? They're so frustrated when they hear about this. So maybe it's Donald Trump. Maybe it's the new secretary can come in with the support of the White House that says, okay, we're going to clean this up. And it's not only a problem with the VA, but it has to do with an attitude throughout government, as you noted. It's more about, hey, am I going to be able to be accepted at the cocktail parties, the Beltway cocktail parties and the reindeer games that, you know, the ruling elite put on? Am I going to be part of the inner circle, or am I more concerned about the people and their investment and the veterans who we're supposed to serve?
That's exactly right. And, you know, there are some great people that work at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And unfortunately, under the current system, you know, you look at last year, the VA doled out $177 million in bonuses. And many of those bonuses went to individuals that had manipulated wait times, trying to game the system so they could get a few thousand dollars in their pocket, not thinking about the lives that were impacted. And so they're doling out these bonuses. They're rewarding poor behavior. And, you know, all of that said, I think it's so hypocritical for so many politicians out there. You know, when Secretary McDonald compared the wait times at the VA to that of a family getting on a ride in Disneyland,
right.
So many politicians ran to Twitter and Facebook to blast him for those comments. Well, those very politicians have the ability to change things by getting legislation passed that empowers leaders to, one, protect whistleblowers at the VA, and two, pass some legislation that gets things turned around. And so we're really hopeful that going into 2017, these politicians that have campaigned on, as you said, everyone wants to fix the VA, and it's a great talking point for politicians out on the trail. And we're going to hold them accountable here going into 2017.
But Cody, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, this is what mainstream America, you know, goes crazy over, going, wait a minute, you need an act of Congress to get people just to do their job? I mean, that's not the way it works in the real world. I mean, I got to do my job. If I don't do my job and produce, I'm fired. You know, there you got to go through all this red tape in order to get people to do what you're paying them for. What's wrong with this picture?
I mean, that's exactly right. You lose a lot of common sense when you get up to Washington, D.C. and catch that Potomac fever. And we're hopeful that we can get things turned around and the new administration will get some people in place that can actually make some changes.
Cody, we got more to talk about on the other side of the break. Cody McGregor is with us. This is Bill Martinez. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour right now.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. During the holidays, make decorations to brighten up your home without burning through your seasonal budget.
Because we rarely see picturesque white winters here in Mississippi, we like to make DIY decorations that bring a warm holiday ambiance to our home. One of my favorites is to take the cards we receive from friends and family during the season and hang them using twine, clothespins, and twinkle lights.
It looks amazing, plus it warms our hearts to surround ourselves with photos and cards from our loved ones. For our holiday DIY buys, we love to use our Bank of America Card Cash Rewards credit card because we can earn 1% cash back on every purchase. Even better, we can also earn 2% cash back on grocery store and wholesale club purchases and 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. It's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance, and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us.
Program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour at B Martinez Live. Let us know your thoughts. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know who's on your short list for the VA secretary position. Cody McGregor is with us. He's the National Outreach Director for the Concerned Veterans of America. Cody, let's talk about the CVA shortlist. Do they have a shortlist for a VA secretary who they think could make a difference?
You know, we're not naming any names. We're not advocating for one person or the other. We're really just continuing to pound the drum to revamp the VA and not privatize the VA, but revamp it in the sense that it gives veterans choice. You know, there's some legislation. We were just on Capitol Hill a couple weeks ago. In 2 days, we had meetings with over, I think, 100 lawmakers in the House and the Senate talking about some legislation, the VA Accountability First and Appeals Modernization Act, which really revamps the system, gives veterans choice, protects whistleblowers. And so our approach is really to continue to push good legislation through members of Congress and hope that the administration picks somebody that can toe the line on getting things done at the VA.
Cody, it would seem that the inherent system, and we touched on this in the first segment here, is so well established, the nine-dot paradigm of incompetence for the VA, and that may sound harsh, and I don't mean to be so harsh for the people that are involved in working hard. I mean, because there is, you know, there are many good things that the Veterans Affairs has done. I mean, in terms of research, I mean, they have an incredible research department, the advancements they're doing. So there are some things that are being done here. But the bottom line is put that out and just say, hey, are you doing better? Is the VA, since that big scandal of 2014, have we come up with some solutions, or did we just kind of, as you say, just turned it into a shell game? We just kind of moved the peanut into another shell that right now isn't getting a lot of attention.
I mean, that's exactly right. You know, there are three reasons, really, why change hasn't happened at the VA. You've got left-wing ideologues that love currently that the VA healthcare is socialized entirely controlled government union. You've got big unions that love the fact they control the dues monies of 300,000 plus employees, and you've got the bureaucrats that are just quite frankly addicted to the power of controlling veterans' healthcare. Mm-hmm. And as long as those three things are intact, it's going to be nearly impossible to get things changed. And so we're hopeful that, you know, these shell games where they remove someone from one VA hospital and slide them to another, saying they removed them. Well, they did remove them from the hospital, but they just shipped them down to Texas or to Arizona.
Because you can't fire them. For whatever reason, we just can't fire them. I mean, it seems to me, Cody, if I can interrupt just a second, is that what comes to mind immediately is you almost need somebody like a Betsy DeVos taking over education. She has broadened out the ideas and thinking. Well, let's put the students first. Let's think about what works best for them. Charter schools. Let's talk about school vouchers, that sort of thing. And this is basically what the CVA has suggested time and again, and whose time has gone way past due. I mean, it's clear the current system cannot handle vets. I mean, and you and I haven't even touched upon the suicide rate of vets still at 20 plus a day. That's unconscionable. And we're not saying, we're not blaming all that on the VA, but you did have a situation recently where you had a vet go to the VA, and he just got fed up and tired of waiting in line and being passed around. But this is socialized medicine, and it goes out into the parking lot and commits suicide.
I mean, that's exactly right, and it's a tragic thing, and it's a tragic number. And, you know, the only way to get this done, Bill, is to continue to pound the drum. I know you talk about it all the time. Unfortunately, some of the, you know, TV media, they love to, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And if a scandal pops up, they talk about it for 2 minutes. And then next thing, they're off to Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
And so, you know, we've got to, as a country, you know, I think this was a big wake up. This last election was a big wake up call. And I'm hopeful that all those individuals that got engaged that maybe haven't been engaged as much as they have been for this election will stay engaged, continue to keep the pressure on these elected officials, Republicans and Democrats, so we can actually get things done at the VA and quite frankly across government, where we can be more accountable to taxpayers and we can take care of those that have served this country.
Well, that's what I was suggesting here with education with Betsy DeVos, is that it seems like similar things that education has been dealing with is what the VA has been dealing with. And too many areas and sectors of government, because you seem to have this common driving force and operating system within all the bureaucracy. And at the very core of this, I mean, I'll call it out for what it is, it's these government unions. They promote mediocrity. Everything is leveled off. And I know that sounds harsh, ladies and gentlemen, but this is what I'm looking at from my purview. I have never been able to work in an organization that just said, hey, look at, only work, to this level. I mean, every day I had goals. I was measured based on those goals. I was held accountable, and I had to hold my staff accountable. But yet in government, we look in there and it's just like, it's no big deal. If you got a problem here, because we've got to protect your job somehow, I don't know how they justify that, but they're just so important and significant, even though they've so poorly produced on behalf of we the people, we send them to Arizona, we send them to Colorado or some other facility so that they can reproduce their incompetence there. How does that make sense?
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, I think one of the things that happens when you get to Washington, D.C., and you get to some of the headquarters where these big government unions are, they forget that money isn't just printed in a basement in D.C. You know, that money is earned across this country by hardworking Americans that want to see those dollars put to good use. And that's, I think they lose touch with that. And they lose touch that we're not talking about numbers here. We're talking about lives of veterans. And so, you know, hopefully shows like you and our mission at Concerned Veterans for America, we can continue to pound the drum and shine a light on these issues so we can actually get real reforms passed.
Well, Cody, I think of the people working, again, with the VA. I mean, I can't imagine somebody goes to college and says, hey, I'm going to go work for government and I'm going to go find some mediocre job and just kind of just, you know, wait it out and you know, just kind of go through the motions and get my regular raises. And, hey, look, if I scan the system good enough, then I can get a bonus here, because that's what these knuckleheads are doing. So that's the rules of play. If the rules of play game the system and this is what they promote, well, guess what you're going to get? More of the same. There's no reason for them to change. There's no incentive for them to change. And, you know, what I'm concerned about is people are going to look at Donald Trump and expect Donald Trump to be in much the same way like Barack Obama. You know, we hire Barack Obama because we say, hey, look, if we get the first black president, you know, we'll have to, you know, we can put this racial stuff behind us once and for all. It's too big a job. It's not going to be done by, you know, one person, you know, Barack Obama healing, you know, the racial divide in our country any more than Donald Trump is going to heal this chronic incompetence and mediocrity.
I mean, that's exactly right. You know, and the unfortunate thing is, Bill, I've had the chance over the last couple of years to meet some doctors and some other practitioners at VA hospitals. And some of those folks are incredibly talented. They could be making so much more money in the private sector, but they didn't serve their country in uniform. And so this is how they're serving. And it's an incredible service and sacrifice on their part to put that aside and come work at the VA. And everyone gets the blanket term that nothing's working at the VA. And so I want to be clear that there are some great, great people that work in some of the departments of Veterans Affairs around hospitals around the country. And we've got to eliminate those that aren't doing their jobs, that are making a bad name for these patriots that are taking care of our heroes when they come home. And
exactly.
Especially when it comes to some of the mental health stuff, you know, we talked about suicide rates and once a veteran gets in and gets the right counseling and gets to these individuals, it's amazing. But, you know, you can have the best care in the world, but if you die in line trying to get it, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Well, and I agree with you, Scott, and that's why I'm concerned. I almost sound so cynical, but I'm frustrated. Again, I think of all the people involved, whether it's our heroes coming in to be service, I'm sorry, I said Scott, I meant Cody. Cody, that, you know, it's just frustrating to me to see all this, human potential and, you know, people that really have a heart in the right place, but they're not supported because the system itself is dysfunctional. And we really need to attack the system, I believe, and not necessarily the people, and, you know, kind of give it an opportunity. I believe that if you get the incompetence out of the way, the people, by virtue of their own goodness to a certain degree, will help heal the problem, don't you think?
I do. And, you know, think about the even bigger picture, the 100,000-foot view. So we see headline after headline, story after story of veterans dying in line, veterans not being taken care of. What do you think the 15- and 16-year-old kids, men and women out there, think when they see how our veterans are taken care of when they come home? And so you start thinking about the big picture here. Are they going to want to enlist when they see how we're treating these heroes when they come home? And so this is a major issue that I think we've got to get our arms around. And we're frustrated, but we're working hard at Concerned Veterans for America to try to get this thing turned around.
Well, Cody, to you and the CVA, congratulations. Keep up the great hard work. We're going to partner with you as we continue to work together. As we know, CVA has been at the forefront of the fight for a better Department of Veterans Affairs. President-elect Trump's upcoming pick for the next VA secretary will be critical to the effort to reform the VA once and for all. We can only hope so. Cody McGregor, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Have yourself a great day, buddy.
Hey, thanks for keeping up the fight on the airwaves.
You got it, buddy. All right. Just a couple of minutes before the top of the hour right now. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.